Let's pray together. Father God, you are everything we need. And as we can sing that together, God, I know it's not always the way I act, the way I live. God, I act like I can do it on my own. I try to live in my own strength. I try to plan and build and prepare and control things myself. Build a life that is safe and comfortable. God, you didn't call us to be safe and comfortable. You called us to follow Jesus. Wherever he goes, whatever he does. You called us to die to ourselves. My gifts, my skills, my strength, doesn't matter. You are everything I need. Father, help that to be more and more true for us every day. And God, now as we turn to your word this morning, I just pray that you would speak to us in that. Draw us deeper. Show us who you are more clearly, that we can follow you better together. Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team, for leading us to that place this morning. As we begin this morning, we're just gonna dive right into Scripture. I've been doing that lots lately. I don't know why, but I like, you know. Let's start with the Bible, right? It doesn't matter what I say. I'm gonna talk for a while after that, but let's hear what God has to say, and maybe that's all you need to hear this morning. But Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. This is in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is standing on a mountainside and he's talking to a great big group of people. And this is kind of the biggest chunk of teaching that we have from Jesus in the whole Bible, in all of the Gospels. And he lays out all kinds of things for us here. And so I'd encourage you this week, go back. It's pretty familiar to us if you've been following Jesus for any length of time, because this is something we hang out in quite a bit. But I'd encourage you again this week, go back, read through the Sermon on the Mount again. There's bound to be something in there That's gonna strike your heart, that God is gonna use to push you a little bit deeper, a little bit further in following him. But this morning, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34 says this: "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. That's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. How true that is. This morning we're going to be continuing in our Believe series, and we are asking the question this year, what it means for us to think, to act, and to be like Jesus. We started in the fall with thinking like Jesus, what that looks like. We want to see the world like he did. We want to see God like he did, to understand life like he did. And we finished that, and we got that down, so that's good. We're done. We all think like Jesus now, and that's good, so we can move on. The new year, we moved into what it then means to act like Jesus, and we're still working on that part, but we'll get there. One more week, and then we'll be done that too. Lucky, right? Man, we are nailing this. But we want to act like he did. We want to live life like he did. We want to care about the things that he did, the things that he thought were important. We want to think those same things are important. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to get into what it means to be like Jesus. We're going to dig into the fruit of the Spirit, what it means just to exist like Jesus did and to just be the things that he was. And that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to that. But we're still looking at acting like Jesus. We've talked about a lot of different pieces of that already. We've talked about worship and prayer and scripture and biblical community, single-mindedness, total surrender. Last week, we talked about giving our time. Big stuff. Heavy stuff. Important stuff. Things that if we can really dig into living them out will totally transform our life. If we can get it. And it's exciting to talk about. And let me tell you, it is terrifying to talk about. To think about what it looks like to actually orient my life around these things instead of all the things that I so naturally want to do. But we have to do it. We have to talk about it. And this morning, we are going to talk about something that is really, really dangerous. Something that is really, really hard. Really scary. And something that I know is going to cause a reaction in all of us. We are going to talk about giving our resources. We are going to talk about tithing. Now, this topic and maybe sex are the two things that are going to make people most uncomfortable when we talk about them as the church. And to be honest, that really sucks. Because both of those things are really, really important things that we really, really need to be able to talk about a lot. Because there's very few things that are tied more deeply to our sense of identity and security and fulfillment and control than money and sex. With money in particular, it represents so much about who we are and how we feel. And as believers, it represents so much about our understanding of God and submission. Submitting to Him. Trusting Him. It's a huge deal. The difficulty in talking about something like this morning, in talking about tithing, submitting our money and resources to God, is that those of us, those of you who are giving faithfully and genuinely desiring to submit all of your life, all of your time, all of your gifts, all of your possessions, all your effort, all your energy, and all your money, you're going to feel guilty still, like you're not doing enough. And those of you, those of us, who aren't living that way, who aren't tithing and submitting to God in that way, are going to feel convicted and probably angry that, oh great, the church is talking about money again. And I'm going to bet there's some in this room who have already tried to check out in anger this morning because this has been mentioned. And neither of those are what we want. I don't want to guilt people into giving more, and I don't want to make someone angry just by talking about this at all. But the fact that talking about money together as the church evokes such a strong reaction is the biggest reason why we have to talk about it. Because it's tied so tightly to our hearts. And God knows that. He understands far better than we ever could. In the Gospels, we have about 38 parables of Jesus, kind of depending how you count them. There's about 38 parables where he talked about all kinds of things, how we should treat each other, what God is like, what sin is like, what the kingdom of God is like. But do you know what he talked about more than anything? How we should handle our money and stuff. 38 parables of Jesus, 16 of them are about our money and our possessions. Almost half. In the Gospels, there are 288 verses that deal with money. In the Gospels, about 1 in 12. In the whole Bible, there are over 2,000 verses that talk about our personal resources and dealing with money. To put that in perspective, there's only about 500 in the whole Bible that talk about prayer. And there's less than 500 that talk about faith. God talks about our relationship with money and stuff four times more than prayer or faith. You think he might think it's a big deal? He gets it. He understands us clearly. He knows our fears and our insecurities and our wants and our desires. Okay, so what is it? What are we talking about? What is God talking about and why? Tithing is an act of sacrifice. Tithing is an act of worship. Tithing is an act of community, and tithing is an act of mission. That's what God's talking about. First and foremost, more than anything else, tithing is an act of sacrifice. We're going to talk about these other good and important aspects of tithing, worship and community and mission. There's wonderful pieces there, pooling our resources together and the good things that we can do together. But first and foremost, more than anything else, tithing is an act of sacrifice. It's about submission. Pure and simple. Whatever else it does, whatever else it accomplishes, tithing is about sacrifice and submission. God knows that it's going to be a constant, ongoing, lifelong struggle for us to rely on Him instead of ourselves. And so He's called us to sacrifice a portion of our resources in a constant, ongoing, lifelong way. Luke chapter 9, Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." He knows we're going to forget. He knows we're going to waver. He knows we're going to wobble. Every day we have to die to ourselves again, reminding ourselves every day that our life now belongs to Him. And in tithing, we sacrifice regularly, just the same way, be it weekly or a couple of times a month or monthly or whatever it is, reminding ourselves that everything I have is God's. Everything I have is from him. Every breath, every heartbeat, everything I can do, and so everything I have is by his grace, for his glory, his purpose, his kingdom. It's an act of sacrifice and submission. He is God, and I am not. Matthew chapter 6, we just read this, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We're going to try. But I love this verse so much because Jesus just lays it out so clearly. He does that so rarely. In so many other places, he would have stopped before that last sentence and just left things in a little bit more cryptic of a place. You will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. And we would be left to go, what's he talking about? What does he mean? And we would draw all kinds of conclusions and ideas from what that's talking about. But no. He does that over again. Not this time. He doesn't leave it open for interpretation. This is one of the very few times that he says, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I mean. You cannot serve both God and money. The most amazing part is as I'm saying those words, my heart is still going, yes, absolutely, totally. Just going to hold on to a little bit though. I'm with you, absolutely, all the way, yes, but not this part. I will serve God with all of, most of my money. Except the part I still need, right? Tithing is sacrifice. It's about breaking that hold that money has on us. And the example in Scripture that we have starts right at the beginning. Cain and Abel, right at the beginning of Genesis, they offer a sacrifice to God, the fruits of their labor, and they just burn it. They just burn it to show God that he is in control. To show God that they trust him. Now there's all kinds of stuff after that. Obviously, you know, murder and things. But that's a different sermon for a different day. Right at the beginning, this act of offering is just that. Giving something up. Letting it go. To show that we need God more than we need stuff. More than we need money. More than I trust my own health, my own ability to work. He's commanded us to tithe because he knows that he is what we truly need. Tithing is an act of sacrifice. And so it is an act of worship. All through the Bible, tithing is connected with worship. It's not a punishment. It's a gift. It's a chance to show God that we love him and we trust him. From Cain and Abel to Abraham to Moses and the Israelites in the temple, giving to God is an act of worship. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says, each of you should give what you've decided in your hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Malachi chapter 3. When's the last time you were in Malachi? Go check it out again. It's a really cool book. God's almost like exasperated with the Israelites. And maybe God's never sarcastic, but he sounds kind of sarcastic in it. And it's really funny. So read Malachi again because it's really good. But Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. I'm not going to say it this week. It's one of my favorites. This one is so good though. Seriously, read Malachi, the 3 verse. Oh my goodness. Anyways. God's talking to his people here. And he's trying desperately. Again, it's like he's exasperated. He's like, guys, please just trust me. Please get it. In verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 10, he says, bring the whole tithe into my storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. This is not health and wealth. God does not promise us that if we tithe, we will get rich. That is garbage. That is evil and one of the most vile teachings the church has ever known. But God does consistently say all through Scripture, and especially all through the Old Testament, that if we will listen to him and obey him and worship him, that we will be blessed beyond measure. Because he loves us. He desires relationship with us. God doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. And our money so much stands in the way of that. Worship is about relationship, and tithing is a powerful act of worship. Thanksgiving, submission, love, trust. Tithing is about sacrifice, and so it's about worship, and so it's about community. This is one of the biggest things for us to remember. It's not about the church demanding money as though it's some kind of faceless corporate entity, as is so often joked about. There was a time when that was true. The church was a powerful, monolithic, faceless institution that abused and manipulated people, selling indulgences and forcibly taking money from people, all couched in this spiritual language, and that was so wrong. That's not what we are today. That's not what the church was ever supposed to be. As we talked about a couple of weeks ago, we talked about biblical community, the fact that you are the church. We are the church, not an institution, not a building, not a government, not a ruler, people, you, us, together. So it's not a tax or a charge. It's about us pooling our resources together. We sacrifice and we worship and we give our resources together to build God's kingdom together. To bless and care for people together. To spread the gospel together. And so we build buildings so that we can meet together and have space for others to gather and experience the love of Jesus. People from our community gather here to grieve lost loved ones, and we care for them in that time. We support those in need, like we did just a couple of weeks ago with the coldest night of the year, being able to host events like that. People can know that we care. God cares about hurting people in our community. For countless other reasons, we hire people, me, Dennis, others, to care for our body and give leadership and encouragement and guidance. We share our resources so that we can take care of each other when we're hurting or struggling. We are giving to the church, and the church is you. The church is us. Tithing is about community. It's about sacrifice. It's about worship. It's about community. And tithing is about mission. It's about spreading the hope and love of the gospel. And as we pool our resources here together, we can support missionaries around the world. We can run programs and fund efforts to love and care for our community and the people around us so that they can hear and experience the love of God and the truth of the gospel. It's about giving to the church as we try to follow Jesus together, to do what he is doing together, to build his kingdom together. We've talked about it lots of times. Our God is a God of mission, and he's equipping you, has equipped you to be a part of that. And part of the way that he does that is in the stuff that you have. The money that he has allowed you to manage. It's not just about money. It's about our house, our vehicles, our skills, our food, our time. Using all of it. Being willing to give all of it to bless and care for and love others. To be on mission. Tithing is amazing. It's one of the most powerful things we can do because it breaks us down so completely. It accomplishes this simple act, not easy, but simple act, accomplishes so much in our own hearts and all around us. It's profound. The question always then is, well, how much do I have to give? And we kind of dance around it sometimes. The biblical model is 10%. That's what's all through Scripture. Tithe means tenth. But the foundation is your heart. What is God calling you to give? We read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly. Not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In my own life, I found the better question is not how much do I have to give, but how much do I need to keep? If it's all God's, everything I have, everything I can do is from him and by his grace, how much do I keep to use on myself? 90%? 95%? 99%? 100%? How much of God's stuff do we keep? The tithing, the resources, the time, the talents, the money he has given you entrusted to you. How much do you keep for yourself? I use some of it to live, to care for my family and my children, because God honors that too. That's important too. But the rest, I use to do what God is at work doing around me. Because that's what my life is about. Or so I claim. We want to use it to do what God is at work doing around us. Because we've died to ourselves, and we're raised to new life in Jesus. And so, everything is different now. Everything has to be different now. My needs, my wants, my priorities, my hopes, my dreams, my plans are all his now. This morning, if you feel guilty when you think about your tithing, you need to ask God for forgiveness. Ask him to help you understand how to handle the resources he has given you best. Ask him to give you peace about what he calls you to give, what you decide to give. Ask him to help you grow into a relationship with him that isn't bought. To understand that his love isn't bought with your tithe. If you feel angry when I talk about tithing, when you think about it, you need to ask God for forgiveness. Ask him to help you give that huge burden of fear and selfishness to him, so that he can replace it with freedom and life. Joy and hope. In this church, You are cheerful givers. It is amazing to see the faithfulness of our people here, and I want to encourage you in that. This is a reminder and a challenge for me more than anybody. We are trying our best to walk intimately with God and invite others to journey with us, and you are doing that with your resources, time, money, talents, gifts. Tithing is about giving up control. One of the most intimate and deepest parts of ourselves, our money represents security. It represents safety. It represents comfort. It represents prestige and power. It represents control. And so in tithing, we sacrifice that control. We worship the God who is in control. We engage in community together, trusting and giving to each other. And we go on mission, spreading that hope. This morning we're going to take communion together. And as we do that, we want to recognize that Jesus represents these exact same things on the cross. He sacrificed his life for us. He gave glory and worship to his Father as he submitted to his will. He bought community for us. As he forgives our sins and allows us to be in relationship with God and with one another again. And he fulfilled God's mission. As we take communion together this morning, I want you to think. Think about what it means to give your resources, to die to yourself and to trust God completely with everything, including your money, just like Jesus did. We have a number of crosses around the room. In a moment, I'm going to pray for us, and as you feel led, you can come and make your way to the cross. We do that so that we can do that together. Again, Jesus is about community. He's about each of us giving our lives to him, following him. But we do that together. So as an individual, if you need to, that's okay. But as a family or with friends, come, take communion, pray together. Ask God to help you understand your resources, what he has entrusted to you, more clearly. If you're not able to make it to one of the crosses, Pastor Dennis will bring the elements around to you. Just raise your hand and flag them down. But let's pray together as we spend this time. Father God, I thank you that you know us so well. Thank you that you know me so much better than I know myself. I'm so easily able to lie to myself and pretend like I'm doing better than I am. That I'm trusting you more than I am. I can hide even from myself all the ways that I'm still relying fully on my own strength. God, help us to see through that. You see through it completely. Help us to see and understand those blind spots that we have. Those places where we're not willing to give up control to you. Take us a little further this morning, a little deeper into relationship with you. Help us to surrender one more piece as we try to follow you. God, we thank you that you feel we are worth saving. We thank you that you love us so much that you want to be with us. Help us to embrace that together. And remind us again this morning as we take communion. In Jesus' name, amen.